single audits for you all, Alaska tribal governments. My name's Jen Parisian. I am a policy advisor within the Office of Tribal and Native Affairs here at Treasury. And I'm from the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians. I grew up on our reservation, which is on the border of Canada in North Dakota. Our office, again, the Office of Tribal and Native Affairs, our OTNA, we're a newly established office within Treasury, and we are overseen by the first Native American Treasurer of the United States, Treasurer Chief Lynn Malerba from the Mohegan Tribe. She's unable to make it today because she's at a cultural event at her tribe, but we're going to have a great webinar today. Our office is committed to working with tribal governments and Indigenous communities to promote economic prosperity. Our office was established about 2 years ago to coordinate tribal consultations, to manage the Treasury Tribal Advisory Committee, or TTAC, and to advise on tribal policy and program implementation Treasury-wide. So today's webinar is part of our office's efforts and Treasury to implement Executive Order 14112. So looking for ways in which we can provide resources, education to tribal governments to support your compliance with your federal grant awards. And we're committed to strengthening our relationship with tribes. And that includes engaging in regular, meaningful consultation with tribal officials. In recent visits across Indian country, and including my visit to Kotzebue, which was helped coordinated by AFN, we have the opportunity to meet to tribal leaders and staff, some of you on today's webinar. And in that time, you told us that education and technical assistance is a priority to support a strong tribal economy, strong tribal financial foundation. And so we are here to provide you with that education. So today's webinar and other efforts are here to support those commitments, to not only help with your compliance with the pandemic funding, but also just achieve grand general single audit compliance. With that, I am happy to share that we are collaborating with our federal partners. Next slide, please. At the Bureau of Indian Affairs and Bureau of Indian Education within the Department of Interior. To share information today, we're also grateful to have the Alaska Federation of Natives join us, who have done tremendous outreach to your communities. So for today's webinar, we want this to be a educational experience. So please ask questions that you have. If there's a concept that you would like us to repeat, feel free to let us know in the chat box, or if you think it would be helpful for AFN to translate, please let us know. We'll circle back to your question. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Karen Francis at Indian Affairs to introduce herself.
Thank you, Jen. I am so excited. My name is Karen Francis, as you heard from Jen earlier about the EO 14112, really focusing on streamlining the process across the federal government, especially when it comes to the compliance with single audit. So I'm very excited about this webinar because this is something that my office, who is responsible for the compliance oversight of all the single audit that is required by the tribal and tribal entities, which including Alaska region as well. So another reason I'm excited is that when it comes to compliance with single audit, we echo what Treasury said earlier about the education training, and the area we want to focus on in the last couple of years is really try to increase that capacity, understanding of how we from the federal government side to continue working with our tribe, to serve our tribe, to not meeting the requirement, but also most importantly, to provide that financial assistance to continue serve the Indian country. So really excited to be here through this collaboration with Treasury. Treasury, the office may be new, but our office being managing the single audit for many, many years, and many of you probably been working with Bureau of Indian Affairs awarding officials, as well as Bureau of Indian Education, a grant specialist. We are so excited not only to learn about what you do now under the Treasury new process, but also how that process connect with ours. So again, you can tell I'm so excited to share, to learn with you all. So please participate, and I look forward to this training in the next hour or so.
Thank you, Karen. Appreciate your words. And now we'll turn it over to AFN. Nicole, are you on?
And not only am I on, but I'm talking away on mute. 5 years after the pandemic, and it still happens. And as I was saying, my name is Nicole Borromeo. I serve as AFN's Executive Vice President and General Counsel. I've been at AFN for 10 years now. I'm originally from the interior. I grew up in McGrath. I'm an enrolled tribal member in the McGrath Native Village Council. And I went to Mount Edgecombe High School. So I'm very familiar with all of your villages. And I'm so happy to see many of you as tribal administrators making the time to participate today. My remarks are going to be very short, but I do want to make sure that you know who your regional navigators are. The Navigator Program was stood up when Congress started to pass all of these economic recovery bills. And we wanted to ensure here at AFN that all of our small tribes and all of our small Native corporations knew about the funding opportunities that were available to them from the Biden administration. And we truly have a very well-oiled partnership with the Office of Tribal and Native American Affairs. I can't stress enough what a good advocate for Alaska Fatima has been, and her team, especially Jen. Jen has been our angel when it comes to compliance and reporting. So please see her exactly as she is, and don't be afraid to, as Jen mentioned and Karen, to ask questions. We know that many of you are going to be going through the audit for the first time. It can be scary, but we're going to get through it together. If your navigators reach out to you, they are only doing so to help. So please see us as a lifeline. See Jen and the Office of Tribal and Native American Affairs as a lifeline. And final comment is just a major koyana and thank you to Jen and everybody at the Treasury for making special time for Alaska and realizing the challenges that we have up here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nicole. So again, for those that might have joined late, today we are going to cover an introduction to the single audits. As Nicole mentioned, we understand many tribes in Alaska are experiencing a single audit for the first time. So we're here to give you an overview of what that thing is. We'll also cover the compliance supplement and an overview of the Alternative Compliance Examination Engagement, or the ACE, and how to actually do the thing, how to actually upload the report. We'll do a demo of that. Next slide, please. I've got to say these words. Treasury makes me do that, but today's webinar is going to be recorded, and the slides will be sent to registered attendees in the coming weeks. This presentation is designed to give an overview of what the single audit is, as well as the ACE requirements, and it is for educational purposes. It's not to be construed as legal advice or a statement of binding policy from Treasury. With that, I'm now going to turn it over to our first presenter, Mr. Nasser Fahmy, within the Treasury's Office of Capital Access Office, is going to be providing an overview of the single audit as well as the compliance supplement.
Thank you, Jen, and good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, depending on where you are. I'm very happy to be here and just give you a quick briefing about my background. I've been in the federal government for about 38 years, and for the first 20 years, starting back in 1986, I began with HHS, Office of Inspector General, Office of Audit Services, And I've been involved with the single audits since the implementation date of the single audit act back in 1986. I've served at various federal agencies, including HHS, Indian Health Service, Education, Homeland Security, and now I'm happy to be here at Treasury. So go on slide number six, please. So we have a lot of information before us, so I'm just going to skip through like the easy part or the parts that you'll be able to easily identify yourself. Let's talk about the definitions of terms that are used in single audits. When we talk about auditees, we're basically talking about the entity that receives the federal award. Okay, auditee, recipient, non-federal entity, they're all synonymous. Or the tribe, okay? So they're all means one and the same. The auditor is basically the CPA firm that you, the auditee, is required to hire and retain to perform the single audit on your behalf to submit to the Federal Audit Clearinghouse. When we say federal award, we're talking about the actual federal grant that the federal government issues or awards awards to you as a tribe or as a non-federal entity or as a recipient. When we talk about the system of internal controls, we're talking about the process we're talking about the process that you folks are responsible to establish at your entity to provide reasonable assurance, $10 million term. The term is reasonable assurance. It's not absolute assurance, okay? It's to provide reasonable assurance for achieving the following, to ensure that managing federal awards is in compliance with federal statute, to make sure that your tribe is achieving the fact that all of your transactions are properly recorded and accounted for, which means, you know, the system that you are using does allow for the preparation of reliable financial statements and federal awards. When we say reliable, we're talking about valid, accurate, and complete. Basically, we're talking about a system that maintains accountability over assets. You know where your assets are and how much they are, the depreciation, everything associated with it. And we also talk about the system that demonstrates the compliance with applicable laws, regulations, and other federal award requirements, terms and conditions of the award. When we talk about also the system of internal controls, we're talking about to make sure that you, the tribe, are achieving that transactions are executed in compliance with applicable laws and regulations and terms and conditions. And in a nutshell, that funds, property, and other assets are safeguarded against loss from unauthorized use or disposition. Next slide, please. More definition. The definition of a single audit. Single audit is exactly what it says it is. It's single audit, one audit. It's one audit that covers the tribe's entire financial operation for federal awards and non-federal awards alike. Okay. It's a single audit of an organization-wide financial statements audit. Okay. Audities that expend federal awards funds over certain threshold. That threshold is $750,000, and that $750,000 applies for fiscal years 21, 22, 23, and 24. However, beginning October 1st of this year, that threshold of $750,000 goes up and increases to $1 million. So in order for you to be required to have single audits, you must have expended, that's the key term, expended $750,000 or more of federal funds. Beginning October, that level of expenditures is increased to $1 million. When we say recipient, again, I'm going back to the definition of a non-federal entity. That includes state, local governments, tribes, universities, nonprofit organizations are all required to have single audits if and only if they receive federal awards. And of these federal awards, they expend or they meet the threshold of the federal expenditures. Please note, for-profit organizations and foreign entities are not subject to single audits unless they are required due to unique circumstances. For example, Alaska Native corporations that received coronavirus relief fund award are required to conduct single audits if they spend $750,000 or more of federal funds. Okay, next slide, please. So who conducts single audit reports? Single audits are basically performed by independent CPAs or independent auditors. When I say independent, they must meet specific independence requirements promulgated by government auditing standards and any state requirements of where that CPA is geographically located. So the entity that the auditors are basically are independent auditors that you retain or that you procure, arranged by the tribe, and must be independent from the audited entity. Please note, if you have an internal audit unit, that they do not qualify to perform single audits. It has to be completely independent of the tribe, okay? When are single audits conducted? Single audits are conducted after the conclusion of the tribe's fiscal year, and also it's after the time you close your financial and accounting records for the year as well. Okay, we want to make sure that you have your accounting system and accounting and financial records are ready to be audited. Okay, what is the deadline for you to submit the single audit report? Ultimately, it's got to be within the first 9 months. Okay, but so you have a 9 months window to submit the single audit report after the close of your fiscal year. Okay, single audit report packages are due to a federal audit clearinghouse. Okay, the earlier of 30 calendar days of your receipt of the CPA report from the auditor, or within 9 months. So if let's say you're on a calendar year basis, okay, so you have 9 months to submit the single audit report. However, if the CPA submits the single audit report to you folks in May 1st, okay, you have 1 month from May 1st, you have those 30 days from May 1st up until June 1st to submit the single audit report to the Federal Audit Clearinghouse. Next slide, please. So we're gonna have our first quiz. This is a situation where you, the tribe, had received SLFRF funds in the amount of $2.5 million. And of that amount, you expended $400,000. You also received $325,000 from BIA, and you expended all of that amount. And also, in addition to that, you also received a grant from the state of Alaska. But that state grant also came from U.S. Department of Transportation. So it was federal funds passed through the state to you folks. It was only $48,500, and you spent nothing of that amount. So in total, for your fiscal year, let's say you basically received $2.8 million of federal awards, but you only spent $725,000 in federal expenditures during that fiscal year. The question is your tribe subject to have single audits? Yes or no? If you only expended $725,000. Well, next slide. The answer is no, because your tribe in total expended only $725,000. You did not meet the federal threshold of $750,000 in the government, okay? Now, please note, you're not required to have single audits. That doesn't mean that you're not required to keep your financial and accounting records for subsequent visits by federal program officials or by the IG's office or by GAO or whatever the case may be. You're still required to maintain those records in your files in accordance with the record retention policy of the federal government agency as well as your tribe. It doesn't mean that, you know, these financial records can be tossed in the Bering Sea or the Arctic Ocean. No, ma'am, no, sir. Those records must be kept. Move on to slide 11. We have question number two. Same scenario. Basically, in this situation, in this situation, the tribe received $2.8 million, but they expended $825,000 because the award that they received from the state of Alaska, okay, that they received $100,000 and they fully expended it, okay? But guess what? Because of the $100,000, they went over the $750 threshold, okay? So does that mean they are required to have single audits or not? Please note, the state award that they received from Alaska originally came from where? U.S. Department of Transportation. So in this case, the answer is yes. Going on slide 11. Going on slide 12. Okay, the answer is yes, because all federal funds, either that the tribe received directly or passed through, did meet and exceed the $750,000 threshold. Okay, so moving on to slide 13. The objectives of single audit. What is the objective of a single audit? In a nutshell, it's basically to determine whether the tribe has complied with intended purposes of the federal award, had expended its money in accordance with intended purposes, and all of their claim costs were in fact allowable under the grant terms and conditions. That's basically the purpose of the single audit. We use single audits as our eyes and ears because we government agencies, we cannot be at your tribe on a frequent basis to see how well you're doing. So we rely, basically we use a great deal of reliance on these single audit reports when they do come in, okay? Please note, we shouldn't treat single audits as such only, but you, the tribe leadership, you should be just as interested in these single audits as well, because it tells you how well things are being administered and managed at your tribe. Okay, so it's like a report card for you as well. Okay, so single audits are used as a monitoring by federal awarding agencies and pass-through entities to verify that the tribe is complying with requirements for federal awards. And our single audits are also used to verify whether the tribe has a sound system of internal controls in place to implement the requirements of the federal awards. Okay, remember early on I said, regarding internal controls, we want to make sure that the reports that you file, you know, include valid, accurate, and complete data. Basically, the CPA or the audit firm that you hire is required to look at your system of internal controls. And they issue a report on the system of internal controls. So from a financial perspective, the auditor will test and issue an opinion on the financial statements, as well as your documented financial management policies and procedures. Are you following your documented policies and procedures to execute financial transactions? Are you in compliance with, are you complying with these policies and procedures? How about your system of internal controls? Is the system a sound system? Is it a good system? And if so, are you following it or not? That's basically the independent assessment we get from the audit firm in the form of a single audit report, okay? And like I said, you as leadership of the tribe should be just as interested to find out, is everybody doing their job the way it should have been done, okay? So from the program perspective, okay, the single audit reports provide for accurate information in the schedule of expenditures of federal awards, which is, and the schedule of expenditures, it's referred to as the CEFA Okay. This is a required schedule that must be incorporated in the single audit report packages. It requires you to identify all of the federal awards that you are receiving by the federal awarding agency name, the assistant listing number. If you're talking about SLFRF, I believe the number is 21027. Okay, and the title for that is Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Relief Fund. And also the amount of expenditures that you have incurred during your fiscal year under that one particular program. The single audit report also provide for the tribe's compliance with awards, with the award requirements and any progress with implementation of federal award against award performance criteria and objective. Basically, it does attest to the fact of, are you doing everything you're supposed to be doing? Are your expenditures promoting the intent of the program and benefiting the program? That's in a nutshell, that's the purpose and the objective of the single audit. Moving on to slide 14. So what happens if you miss the deadline to submit the single audit report to a federal audit clearinghouse within the 9 months? Okay. Some agencies would, and I believe the Federal Audit Clearinghouse would classify late submission as a risk entity, okay? If you're the first time, you know, subject to single audits, I wouldn't worry about it, but I would definitely be proactive in getting audits timely moving forward, okay? Because 2CFR 200, which is the Bible for federal grants, okay, does allow federal agencies to impose sanctions and remedies associated, you know, for those that are not complying with the single audit submissions in a timely manner. These remedies include temporarily withhold cash payments pending corrections of deficiencies by federal entity or more severe enforcement actions by the federal awarding agency. Okay, these remedies also include disallow all or part of the cost of an active or action not in compliance. Okay, again, we're talking about if the single audit resulted in findings and recommendations, you're required to take actions to make sure that these findings have in fact been corrected. If these findings appear year after year, year after year, year after year, we're not in the business of shuffling papers back and forth from one year to another. No, we need to have firm corrective action to make sure that this year's problems are not reoccurring in subsequent years, okay? Some of these remedies also include wholly or partly suspend or terminate the federal award. For example, suspend federal awards until the audit is conducted, okay? Withhold for further federal funds. And lastly, is take other remedial legal actions available. And all of these, I mean, if we're talking about remedies, remedies are usually not determined by the program officials. No, it's a consultation with senior management and also general counsel. It's a big thing. So hopefully none of your tribes get to that level. Okay. So moving forward. So I believe this pretty much covers the single audit aspect, meaning if you meet the $750,000 threshold, you are required to submit a single audit report beginning October 1st. If you expend $1 million or more federal awards, you will be required to submit a single audit to the Federal Audit Clearinghouse. Okay. So moving on to slide, I believe, 16. So that pretty much covers an overview in a very quick nutshell about single audits. Let's discuss compliance supplement. Okay, now compliance supplement, most if not almost all of you may not have heard that term before, compliance supplement. Please note the compliance supplement is a document that federal agencies through the Office of Management and Budget issue annually, okay? And the purpose of that document is to provide the audit firm that performed single audits a general guide as to what items and what steps that they must include in their audit program when auditing specific government awards. Okay, meaning if you hire a CPA to conduct single audits and you the only grant you're receiving is SLFRF, okay, there's a specific section in the compliance supplement that we, U.S. Treasury, have authored and included in that supplement for the CPA to follow to make sure that the CPA have considered and implemented the items or the activities that we told them to include in their test. Okay. Why is this important? We want to make sure that our intended objective of the program is in fact being followed by your tribe. Okay. So that's pretty much the purpose of the compliance supplement. Now, why am I discussing this with you, the tribe officials, for? Because if you were to refer back to the compliance supplement, it will give you a lot of the information that the CPA will in fact be asking you when conducting single audits. So it will definitely very, very well prepare you for a single audit, and it will prepare you for the types of questions that will be coming your way from the auditors. Okay. And you'll also know why the auditors are asking you these questions. And in the absence of these questions, you will know if the auditors are doing a good job or not. Okay. So the reason we're including the compliance supplement over here is for you to get your feet wet on how to best prepare for the single audit. Okay. This is all discussed in 2CFR 200 subpart F. Okay, and subpart F has specific sections in it that are directed specifically to federal agencies, to auditees, meaning the tribes, okay, or including the tribes and the auditors. Each entity, agencies, tribes, and auditors are required to do certain things for the single audit. They're all discussed in subpart F. Okay, note the compliance supplement does not include program specific requirements for every federal program. The key is every federal program. We're only talking about the high-risk programs, the large programs. Okay? Next slide, please. So to discuss the importance of the reporting of single audits, the single audit or program-specific audit is required when a recipient or subrecipient expends how much of federal awards? 750. However, beginning October, that threshold increases to 1 million in federal awards during fiscal year. According to the compliance supplement for 2023, I believe it's in part four of the compliance supplement, you will see this section at this table we're looking at, okay? This is just a very, very small section of the SLFRF, the Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Recovery Fund, okay? You will notice that we, through this table, are specifically instructing the audit firm to test allowable, to test section items A, B, G, H, I, L, and M, okay? The purpose of sections A and B is basically to determine if your expenditures were used to ensure that intended activities and approved functions of the grant award were in fact used to be funded by the federal award, and also is to determine whether the costs that you are claiming were in fact allowable under the cost principles promulgated by 2CFR 200. It also talks about specific tests for an item G that discusses matching, level of effort, and earmarking. If you are if your tribe is required to come up with a 10%, 15%, 20% matching of your federal funds, the CPA will be testing your ability to meet that matching requirement as well. Period of performance. Did you expend the federal funds within the approved period of performance? You didn't expend it before and you didn't expend it after. That's the purpose of this, of item H. Procurement, suspension, and debarment, okay? For all your procurement activities, when you dealt with contractors, were these contractors debarred or suspended or prevented from performing services using federal funds? You are required to check the names of these contractors or entities on the SAN.gov. Have you done that? Okay. Item L, reporting. Of course, because you're receiving government funds, you're required to submit quarterly and annual financial and performance reports. And guess what? In terms of the reporting requirements, the CPA will test out to determine whether you will be reporting your single audit report or submitting your single audit report to the Federal Audit Clearinghouse timely. So reporting includes quarterly, annual financial and performance reports, as well as single audit report as well. It's all discussed in that section. And the last section that we, Treasury, are requiring CPAs to test when looking at your SLFRF program is trust subrecipient monitoring. If you have received, let's say, $5 million under the SLFRF, and of the $5 million, you gave $2 million to like a nonprofit organizations nearby your tribe to provide similar services because you're unable to reach out to that, you know, to those members located at that geographic location. It's your responsibility to monitor that nonprofit organization to ensure that they too spend the government funds for their intended purposes, okay? Your responsibility does not end by just giving them the money. No, ma'am, no, sir. You are required to monitor also how they expended these federal funds to make sure that these federal funds were in fact expended for intended purposes. Moving on to slide 18. So the results of single audits. In the single audit report, the auditor will issue an opinion. And that basically will issue an opinion on the following activities: on whether the accounting functions have accurate information, that's your financial statements pretty much, whether the internal control systems or business practices need improvement, whether financial statements are a reasonable depiction of the financial condition, whether the tribe complied with the requirements set forth in the financial assistance award agreement, including applicable executive orders, federal statutes, regulations, and program guidance. Going back to a second bullet, okay, at the end of each single audit, if the auditors have identified areas that need improvement, they must identify these areas in something called schedule findings and question costs. And those findings will require your attention basically enhancing or improving the activity to make sure that you comply with the recommendations made by the CPA firm. Like I said, this does not mean that you're doing things wrong. No, it means that for these particular activities, things could be done better or the controls could be a little bit more tighter. So not only are we interested in finding these things out, but you as leadership of the tribe, and you should as the director of the activity, and you as the responsible person of the activity, should also be very much interested in finding what these items are, if there are any findings in the single audit report. So moving on to the next slide. So in this process, when I said early on that the CPA must express an opinion, there are four different types of opinion that the CPA can express. The first one is unqualified opinion. Unqualified opinion, meaning your financial statements are correct. Financial statements are free from all material errors and omissions. That's the best thing that could happen, okay? The next best thing is qualified opinion, meaning your financial statements are fairly stated. However, there were some deviations in the preparations of your financial statements. For example, you could be on a cash basis. That would be a reason that the CPA will issue a qualified opinion. But also, qualified opinion, that's also a good thing because there are some major exceptions to accounting rules that's inconsistent with generally accepted accounting principles, but overall, financial statements are fairly presented. Key term. Okay. Now, the third opinion is adverse opinion. Okay. That's where the CPA is basically saying your financial statements are wrong. Okay. That means there are material and pervasive issues in the financial reports and financial statements misrepresents or misstates the auditee's financial position, meaning that this organization is saying one thing on their financial reports, but we cannot trace anything on that was identified on these financial reports that went to a federal government based on their accounting system. So we have no idea where they're getting these numbers from. And by the way, we cannot reconcile the two either. Okay. That would be a reason for adverse opinion. And the lowest opinion on that chart would be a disclaimer of opinion. A disclaimer of opinion is even worse than the adverse opinion. It means that the financial statements were provided to us, basically, they are insufficient. Okay. This is the, we basically showed up to do an audit. We were given a box of accounting records. We didn't know what these records meant. We didn't ask a lot of questions about these records. The entity officials couldn't even explain to us what these records meant either. We didn't know if this document represents a receipt or a disbursement. We didn't know if this invoice was actually paid or not paid. And if it paid, where's the canceled check? So that's like a total mess. Okay. So basically, a disclaimer of opinion is the lowest one on the chart. And that's, friends and colleagues, that would not trigger an eye opener. No, that's a red flag. Okay. That's what we all try to avoid. Next slide, please. Outcome of the single audits. Basically, based on all the tests that will be done by the auditors throughout the single audit process, over here, we're showing two different options. Actually, there are three different options. The first option, which is not included on this chart, is the CPA conducted their tests. And guess what? They did not come up with any findings. Everything is hunky-dory. All the processes are working as intended. They are very happy with the records that you kept. Everything is supported. So that's a no-finding report. Okay. The next issue is, basically, based on the tests that the CPA performed, they identified significant deficiencies. Significant deficiencies is when one or more weaknesses of financial reporting warrants attention, but it is less likely that the finding will have a material impact on the financial statements. It is less severe than material weakness, yet important enough to merit attention by the tribal leadership. Okay. You're doing a good job at this particular activity, but you can do it better. That's what a significant deficiency is. Okay. Now, material weakness is a different story. A material weakness is when internal controls are ineffective, keyword ineffective, and could result in material misstatements. And because the controls are ineffective, we cannot attest to the information on your accounting system, pretty much that's what it says, okay? Which could make financial statements data unreliable in assessing financial health or auditee. So that will, if the auditor identifies a finding as a material weakness, then I beg you that this will require your immediate and undivided attention to actually dig 20 feet deep to find out what the root cause of that finding is and what's the best way to proceed to make sure that this does not reoccur in future years. Please note that the auditors are required to perform follow-up audits on the subsequent audit when they perform single audit reports. So all the findings that they identify in year 2022, they'll have to follow up on in fiscal year 2023 when they perform single audits as well to make sure that your actions that you said you were going to do has in fact been implemented. Moving on, and this pretty much covers the compliance supplement version. But please note, like I said, it's important for you to read the compliance supplement specifically on SLFRF in part 4, okay? Just to provide you a lot of information as to what questions will be asked by the CPA or the audit firm when they conduct single audits. So it's very important for you to get to know these questions up front. It just it will prepare you much better. Okay, moving on to slide 22, please. So the SLFRF program and single audit challenges. What are these challenges for the tribes? Well, for the purpose of this slide, we are only talking about the SLFRF program. This does not apply to any other federal award. It only applies to the Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Relief Fund, okay? Just to give you a background, the American Rescue Plan Act authorized the appropriated funds for the program, and the SLFRF program set aside $20 billion for tribal government to support their responses to and recovery from the COVID public health agency. So many tribes in Alaska are basically pretty much first-time recipients of direct federal funds, and they never heard of single audits. Well, what's a single audit? Or they have not been subject to single audits in the past. We do recognize that. And and this is why we're kind of presenting you with this option, because this is a very serious option that could save you a lot of money, effort, and will make the audit process a lot easier for you folks and for the auditors. And this is something referred to as the alternative compliance examination engagement. This is a term referred to as ACE, a term used by my colleague, Jen Parisian, earlier in her introductory comment. And this basically an alternative report to single audit. The intent of it is to reduce the burden of a single audit report, both on you, the recipient, and on the auditors. Just to give you an example, a typical single audit report of a tribe will basically be somewhere around 60, 70 pages, and it could go up to 400 pages, depending on the complexity of your tribe and the various accounting systems and activities that you do, okay? An ACE report, on the other hand, will only be anywhere from about 4 pages to 7 pages long. So which one do you prefer? The 4 pages or or up to 400 pages long? Obviously, the 4 pages. And guess what? It's a lot cheaper also. So it's a lot cheaper, from the federal government perspective. It's a lot quicker, okay? And it's only focused on SLFRF, nothing more, nothing less. So, but we have to determine, are you in fact eligible to have an ACE report instead of single audits? Let's go on slide 23, please. So in order for you to be eligible, slide 23, please. All right, I'll just continue. In order for you to be eligible to have an ACE, SLFRF recipient, meaning you, the tribe, that expend $750,000 or more in federal awards and meet both of the following criteria, you will be eligible to have an ACE report. Okay? So there are various conditions. To have a single audit, you're only required to expend $750,000 or more. Okay? So we already established that you are required because your expenditure has exceeded $750,000. The next question is, are you eligible to have an ACE? So the ACE, you must be required to expend $750,000 in your fiscal year. And keyword, and you must meet both of the following two criterias, one and two. The first criteria is the tribe must have received, the keyword, received $10 million or less in SLFRF funds. And the second criteria is And all the other federal funds that the tribe received must not exceed $750,000. What does this mean? If you received funds from HHS, Interior, and HUD, and your expenditures under these awards totaled $600,000, okay, normally you would not be eligible to have, or you would not be required to have single audits. But because you received SLFRF funds and you expended another $400,000, those $400,000 pull you on the edge or pull you above the threshold, and now you're required to have single audits. Well, guess what? In this particular case, okay, you are required to have, you are eligible to have an ACE report, because absent SLFRF, you would not be eligible, or you would not be required to have single audits. That's the key factor there. So the key factor is two additional requirements. For the tribe to have received $10 million or less in SLFRF funds, and for all the other federal agencies, expenditures by the tribe must be less than $750,000. Now, please note, beginning October 1st, moving forward, that $750,000 will be increased to $1 million. Okay. There are more guidance, okay, but this is basically, that, like I said, these two items, these two eligible items, are the only two items that you have to meet. There are more guidance for you and for the CPA using that link over here on page 80. Moving forward, slide 24, please. So this is the last question that you'll get from me, okay? In this case, there was SLFRF funds totaling $2.5 million that you received. Total awards that you received is $2.8 million. Total expenditures were $825,000. Do you, or are you qualified to have an ACE? Based on your total expenditures of 825. The answer is yes, because the tribe expended more than $750,000. They expended $825,000, and they have received $2.5 million, which is the top of column one, because they did receive less than $10 million in SLFRF. So that's the, that was the first eligible criteria. And the second eligible criteria is they exceeded the $750,000. And this, my friends and colleagues, concludes my segments. I'm sorry I went a couple minutes over. My apologies on that. So now I turn it over to Jen.
Thank you, Nasser. What we're gonna talk about now is actually how to submit the ACE. So before we do that, to recap what Nasser covered, I know this is a lot of information, but you know, we're happy to answer questions and figure this out together. So high level to recap, if your tribe has expended, not received, expended $750,000 or more in your fiscal year, well, prior to October 1st, 2024, then you're subject to a single audit. And to recap, a fiscal year is a 12-month period, and that could be a calendar year, as someone entered in the chat box, or that'd be some other 12-month period. For example, maybe your fiscal year ends on September 30th. There are potential sanctions if you are missing a single audit and you are subject to them. So we do want to repeat that as part of our recap. The compliance supplement that Nasser went over and Catherine dropped in the chat box, that can be used as a roadmap for your audit readiness to help you with your audit prep. It covers an overview of what is generally included in the audit or award program, and you want to strive to get a clean opinion or an unqualified opinion. Finally, just to recap what Nasser said, if your tribe is electing the ACE, it must meet both of the criteria that he mentioned, your award from SLFRF is at or below 10 million. And if you receive more than 10 million, unfortunately, you can't use the ACE. You got to go with the full single audit. So the ACE would not be subject to you. And as part of that criteria, the amount your tribe expended with other awards outside of SLFRF is less than 750,000 in your fiscal year. So if you meet both those criteria, you have the ACE option. And the place to upload the ACE after you worked with your auditor is the Treasury portal. So that's what I'm going to cover on the next slide. Within the Treasury portal, in your SLFRF annual project and expenditure report, that's due on April 30th each year for most of you that are attending today's webinar. Most of you received under 30 million in SLFRF, and you have an annual report that's due April 30th of each year. There are a series of questions in your annual report regarding the ACE that are up on the screen. So when you go to certify your report, you answer these three questions, and you need to answer all yes to all three of the questions in this section so that the ACE is available to you. Would you like to submit the ACE instead of a single audit? And then making sure you qualify. Is your total SLFRF award equal to or below 10 million? And then for your other federal awards that you expended, not including SLFRF, is that under 750,000? We will drop the user guide in the chat box, which outlines these steps. Next slide, please. Again, if you answered yes to all of those questions in your annual report, then the ACE option is available to you on the left-hand side of the portal. Within the ACE, on the next slide, you have the option to upload the report by clicking the blue pencil icon. Next slide, please. In the ACE, you have that opportunity to upload the report. You click the blue pencil icon. You go out and look for your ACE report. You upload it, click submit button on the bottom right of the screen. So that's the simple steps for uploading the ACE. Of course, there's lots behind it of working with your auditor. On the next slide, we're going to be talking about if you don't qualify for an ACE. What happens if you need to submit the full single audit on the next slide? So we'll cover quickly how to submit the full single audit. The steps that your tribe would need to follow. So again, the ACE is uploaded in the Treasury portal. The single audit, unlike the ACE where you're doing it in the Treasury portal, in the full audit, you will do that on the Federal Audit Clearinghouse website or the FAC website. And unlike the ACE, where you, the tribe, you're logging into the Treasury portal to upload the ACE, for the full single audit, both you and your auditor need to have a login via login.gov to submit the single audit on the FAC website. So to recap again earlier, we're repeating concepts because we want to make sure you walk away with this. Your audit's required when you expend more than $750,000 in your fiscal year prior to October 1st. And that includes if you are a tribe, you are a tribal housing authority, you're a tribal nonprofit or a nonprofit, or an Alaska Native corporation that received the CARES Act CRF. Next slide, please. Again, both you and you as the tribal administrator or tribal representative has to have a login, and so does your auditor. After you log in, you'll see the status of any past audits if you've had one that are associated with your email address. And if you don't see any past audits that were submitted, after signing in, you can have the audit editor confirm the audit list and the email address within your login.gov account. Next slide, please. Just like the ACE, you're going to answer a few questions to confirm that your tribe is even subject to the audit and that you're you're required to submit one. Some of the items that you're going to need offhand include your tribe's UEI number, your fiscal year end dates, and the contact information for your auditor and the tribe certifying official. Next slide. Please carefully review the information on the audit, information on the financial statements page. The form requests information about the tribe's finances, the financial statements, and it identifies any of the federal programs that are going to be included in your single audit. Next slide. Next is a checklist that tracks the progress towards completing your single audit. It shows whether or not you've completed the required information that you're required to upload. So as you upload the various documents that are required, like the financial statements, the CIFA, the summary of prior audit findings, if you have any, your auditor report, any corrective actions, and if they're required, as you continue to upload those, the text will turn green. And one tip for you is to please remove any personally identifiable information within the documents before you upload those to this FAC website. Next slide. Next is submitting the single audit to the FAC. So this is an important thing to note. Is that tribal governments have the ability to opt out of publicly publishing their audit reporting package. So this is an option available to tribes, and you can check the box if you do not want your audit report to be publicly published. And this step has to be completed by the tribe certifying official. Next slide. Lastly, after the tribe uploads the required data, there are systems to check validations to be sure that everything has been uploaded correctly. And after the validation step, the tribe certifying official will lock the report for certification. But please note that this is not the end. The tribe's job's not done. Remember I said that the auditor also needs to have a login. So after you do this part, the auditor needs to log in and actually certify the report. So this is a really important step to coordinate with your auditor. I know in Alaska, sometimes internet can be shaky and communication can sometimes be delayed. So it'd be a good thing to coordinate with your auditor that, you know, today at 9 a.m., 10 a.m., I'm going to be uploading all this information and certifying, you know, you as the auditor, please let me know when you're done with your part. So after your auditor certifies, the tribe certifying official has to log in again and certify and confirm the submission. So it's sort of like a three-step process. Of course, save a copy for your future auditors. Now that we've covered how to submit to the Federal Audit Clearinghouse, again, much more complicated than the ACE. I'm going to turn it over to Indian Affairs. So thank you again. And again, at the end, we're going to do some Q&A to answer any questions you have. So I'd like to now turn it over to Ms. Karen Francis.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Nasser. So you're probably wondering, why do you have to learn from Indian Affairs regarding single audit, since Treasury have done fantastic job explaining what is single audit and what is auditor's responsibility when it comes to the compliance with the Single Audit Act. And the good news is that our process, when it comes to your responsibility in to be in compliance with the single audit and your interact with audit is very similar, like what Treasury is require you to do. So only difference is the ACE report. Now, can we go to the next slide, please? ACE report is very unique to Treasury, as Nasser explained and Jen emphasized. The other requirement you have heard right now is exactly the same for Indian Affairs when it comes to submitting single audit report, maintaining accounting records, et cetera. Now, so what I'm going to do is focusing on the oversight, the federal government oversight piece. As you can see in this graph, on the right-hand side, you have auditee, which is you are, right? So you are maintaining accounting records to tracking the grant money from different agencies. And on the left-hand side, you have auditor come saying the CPA firm to do the single audit when it's required, when you reach that threshold Natha talking about earlier. So I want to focusing on what is the federal management, federal agency oversight responsibility is according to various requirements within the federal government. So you heard from a Treasury presentation that they mentioned the compliance supplement, also single audit, and the two CFR 200 subpart F. And from the federal agency oversight perspective, we also require to look at the single audit report submitted to us to perform certain activities to making sure that we are working with you all to achieve the program goals, objectives, and also making sure the funds that you're managing is in compliance with your standards, et cetera, accordingly. So for Indian Affairs, my division is Division for Internal Evaluation Assessment for Indian Affairs. So part of our job, which is in the middle section of it, we are the coordinator with various, whether it's BIA or BIE or self-governance office. You may work with them before regarding your self-determination grants or self-governance compact. So we work with them to making sure those single audit report that required to submit to us and to perform that oversight activity as we are required by the law. And we also responsible for develop a policy for Indian Affairs as well as for our stakeholders to ensure that interaction from the moment you submit the single audit is required and to the moment when the single audit findings being resolved. Can we go to the next slide, please? So in order for us to perform our work, we first of all, I mentioned the single audit policy for Indian Affairs. So I can drop the link in the chat later on. We do have a single audit report handbook, which is publicly available for auditors, for you all to look at it. What is the federal government, in this case, Indian Affairs, what we are required to do after you submit the single audit report to us. So for all the tribal entities with the responsibility of BIA, BIE, the single audit reports, either you upload to the facts or you submit to my team. So we'll review those reports once we receive it. And we also tracking the status, very similar like how Treasury does it, to making sure if you are delinquent, we will work with BIA, BIE, and work with you to ensure that single audit report is being submitted on a timely manner. And my team, once we receive the report, we will review them. I'll call my team as the second auditor. So we look at the single audit reports submitted to us and to perform our own analysis to making sure that we can support the BIA, BIE awarding officials or education grant specialist, so they can work with you to have a conversation to say, hey, that you have internal control issue in this cash management. You know, your auditor identifies it on your single audit report. What is your action you are going to do right now? And then they will work with you and we will support the effort, making sure your internal control issue is being remediated. And in addition to review the report, providing advice to our stakeholders within Indian Affairs. And sometimes we also go out working with our awarding official to provide advice to TRAP as well. In addition to that, we also are required to monitor what's the status of single audit reports submitted to us. Are there any delinquencies? But also we are required to monitor if you have a single audit finding identified by your auditor, are we as a federal government able to work with you to address that within a timely manner, to therefore this be, not become a repeat finding the following year when your auditor visits you again. So we track various status. So we generate the report to making sure that in the affair as a whole, we have a view in terms of how are we in compliance with our oversight responsibilities. And obviously, we do training sessions across UNIFAIR as well. And this, again, I was, as I said earlier, I was so excited about this training opportunity to kind of have that conversation with you, to share with you what is the federal government oversight responsibility that we are required to do from our side. Next slide, please. So this is just more in a narrative. I know you're going to have a slide later on. Hopefully that'll help you when we spelled out what I just mentioned earlier. So one thing I do wanted to mention that that we, as my office, we are required to work with awarding official across BIE and BIE. They may interact with you if you have a BIE grant on a more regular basis. And we work through them to making sure that there is a technical assistance provided on audit management. It's really truly a partnership with Indian Affairs to provide that coordinated effort to you all. And the second point, right now, we still cannot provide extension when it comes to single audit report submission. However, there is a change coming up after October 1st. We are working internally with Interior to implement this new change on agencies providing extension to single audit report submission. So stay tuned. Next slide, please. So just want to give you some sense of kind of what we do, what we're monitoring. So for Alaska region, cumulatively, we have 149 single audit reports that we are monitoring right now. We're working with awarding officials in BIA, BIE, and I'm sure they're working with you to address some of the audit findings that need to be addressed. And 149 out of 763 is about 20%. But on the annual basis, Alaska is about 10% of our customer base. So that's why when Treasury reached out to us, we are so excited about this. We wanted to talk to you. We wanted you to work with BIBI awarding officials, letting us know if this kind of training opportunities for you is really beneficial. If you believe this training is really helpful, please let your BIBI awarding official know. We're more than happy to work with them to provide similar training to you all. Next slide, please. I want to make sure we have enough time for the Q&A. So this is the Indian Affairs handbook I mentioned earlier. I will drop the link into the chat so you will have it. Like I said, it's publicly available. Once you look at it, you will learn more about, you know, what federal agency are required to do once you submit the single audit report, really to help you kind of work with your awarding officials from BIA, BIE to have that partnership to continuously improve your financial management systems if needed, as well as making sure your program achieving the objective you set for that grant. I think that's my last slide. Is that right, Jen?
Yeah, so our last slide on here are links and resources that we've dropped in the chat that we've talked about, that Ms. Karen mentioned, the single audit report handbook that she brought up on the screen. Again, these slides will be sent out to all registered attendees, and these are live links. So, we'll send that out in the coming weeks. And now we're going to get into some Q&A and stop the recording.